Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now, is there such a thing as the black community? On yesterday's show with the editor of the Daily Beast, John Avlon, we referred to one of the articles that they have up right now featuring a photo of Al Sharpton and asking, is there any such thing as the black community? And we thought we would follow up today and take a closer look. The author of that article joins us now. He's Ron Christie, a Republican strategist, and he served in President George W. Bush's administration. Ron, thanks for doing this, and welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. It's nice to be with you.
I guess you wrote this in response to the protests in Ferguson and here in New York in response to the Eric Garner death in police hands. Why even go there with this question at a time like this?
Well, I just question, Brian, whether there's such a monolithic entity that is Black America. And if there is such a thing, do leaders such as Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson speak for Black America? The reason I really decided to put pen to paper and to write this column is that when you look at the coverage of the tragic shooting in Ferguson, as well as some of the events we've seen unfold here in New York City, there seems to be a response in the media that there is this Black America, this Black community that is being spoken for. And I just challenge that notion and say, I don't think there is any such thing as the Black America in the same sense that you wouldn't say there's a white America.
Well, Black people, it seems to me, would be the first to tell everyone else that the community is diverse, rich and poor, immigrant and descendant of slaves, all kinds of diversity. But for the sake of the issue in the news right now, the risk of an encounter with police that will leave an unarmed Black man dead, maybe there is a Black community on this more than anything else. Because, you know, I open the phones and get calls from Black millionaires to talk about being stopped and frisked on the street or stopped on the turnpike for driving a Mercedes while Black. Oh, he must be a criminal, all that stuff. Not to mention how the Black millionaire lives with the fear that his kids could be the next Michael Brown any day. So isn't there a Black community when it comes to this issue, perhaps more than any other?
It's just not for me to say, and here's where my being a lawyer actually comes into place here. You know, we don't know all the facts in the case in Ferguson. We just don't. You know, we've heard that this was a gentle giant, that this young man had had his hands up and was retreating. And then the more that the facts come out, once the autopsy is released, it turns out, in fact, that he wasn't shot from the back. He was shot from the front. There's a question of whether or not he confronted this officer after being told to stop.
But that's the forensics of the case. That's different than what the response is.
Oh, no.
Isn't it? In terms of, you know, this could be me, this could be my kid.
It could be me. It could be my kid. But I refuse to believe that we live in a overtly racist society in America that just says just because you are Black or just because you are of color, that means that all the police are racist and all the police are going to pull you over and all the police are going to beat the heck out of you if they get their hands on you. I fundamentally reject that notion. I think that there are a handful of sensational cases that unfortunately are brought to light in the media. But I would like to believe, and I do believe, that an overwhelming number of our law enforcement people treat all Americans, regardless of the color of their skin, with dignity and respect.
But don't you think that's even exactly – and we should just open up the phones. Is there such a thing, listeners, as the Black community? Black listeners, weigh in on this. 212-433-WNYC. Who exactly is in this Black community, if it exists or not, if you don't think it exists? And if there is one, what about the leadership? Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson mentioned here as a few who get identified as Black community leaders. And I know a lot of Blacks in New York and elsewhere take Sharpton with kind of a grain of salt. So what do you think about his place or whoever else does or does not get tagged to represent the Black community in the media? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's just go right to a call. Viola in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hello, Viola. Viola, are you there? Okay, Viola, we're going to try to get back to you. I think you have to turn your radio off. Dennis in Newton, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Brian. Brian, another great show.
Thank you.
To the gentleman who asked the question about a Black community, I'm Black. My community makes my color. My color makes my community. My color makes my community because the other communities see me as different. When the Jews were rounded up in Europe, all Jews were not of the same different groups, but at that particular time, because they were Jews, they were that Jewish community. I have a daughter that went to college, and I had to prepare her when she traveled across America for the different treatments that she might see that she was not familiar with, because she happened to grow up in a very nice community. Al Sharpton is not saying all cops are bad, all white people are bad. However, on any given day, when I walk down the street, forget about my education, forget about my professional experience, forget about what I've done, most people will look at me and begin to put a brand on me. And that brand is the black community. I'm not ashamed of being black, but I'm simply letting you know, like Mr. Sharpton is letting you know, and he doesn't speak for all blacks, but what he says represents the feelings of most blacks, that because of our color, we anticipate, and usually it's justified, we are going to be treated differently. I am 68 years of age, and I have experienced this through most of my life. And I have a lot of nice white friends, a lot of nice Asian friends, and Hispanic friends.
So, Ron Christie, do you want to engage with Dennis?
I think Dennis raises a lot of very interesting points, and I think that is the entire reason I wrote my article. Further on in the piece, I wrote that in order for us to achieve the motto of the United States, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one, we have to stop looking at people based on the color of their skin and their ethnicity, and we need to start looking at people as individuals. Yes, we all have different races. We all have different ethnic backgrounds. This country has always had a problem with the dark stain of slavery that I think it's incumbent upon all of us to try to eradicate. And that's my purpose of bringing this forward, and that's my purpose of wanting to have this discussion, is how can we take a tragedy by what took place in Ferguson and in other places around the country, and try to have a true constructive dialogue so that the so-called meaningful discussion, teachable moment on race that President Obama mentioned a couple years ago, that we can move past some of these stereotypes and some of these biases.
You want to keep going, Dennis?
Yes, I would. I think we can move past it by appreciating how bad the problem is. I listen to the people on the conservative shows talking about racism like it's something that's really not that bad. We have to accept the truth. And it goes back beyond slavery, okay, in this country. There is a sense of belief that my group is better than your group. And that dominating factor in so many groups is the undermining pin for what's going on in this country right now. America has to wake up and accept that Ferguson is not just in that community of Ferguson, that you walk through communities where there are poor, where there are different groups, and they are segregated, and because of ignorance, simply that word ignorance, we don't understand, and so we therefore create our own conceptions as to who they are, what they are, and we determine for them.
And Dennis, now I'm going to move on, but I really appreciate your call and your thoughts. Call us again. And let me try Viola in Rego Park again, who I think is a little more sympathetic to our guest. Viola, are you there?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I did call to say that I am sympathetic to your guest, although I have to say I apologize. I haven't read your article. I do believe that that in the media portrays characteristics of a community that they define as a black community, and the previous caller referred to that as a brand. So I do believe that there is a brand called black community, but it's an illusion. I mean, there are elements of truth to it, but it does not define all people of African descent.
How about
I think that having an equal voice, giving everyone who call them are people of African descent, for all of them to have a voice, that will give you a clearer picture of what being Black America is, just like there's no such thing as a unified voice for white America.
Viola, I wonder what you were thinking when the previous caller was making the Holocaust analogy and said obviously there were diverse Jewish communities in Europe, but when you were in the concentration camp, nobody was thinking who was Sephardic and who was Ashkenazi and all of that. So when, you know, an unarmed black man gets shot down in Missouri and an unarmed black man dies in police hands in New York City, and then you go through Sean Bell and this one and that one, that there's a black community around this. What do you think?
I think that it's a difficult question, and I kind of pondered this with respect to, you know, what happened with Trayvon Martin. Can we really say what happened with Trayvon Martin happened because George Zimmerman was racist? Probably not. But what we probably can say is that what happened with Trayvon Martin is because George Zimmerman was a guy out to prove himself any way he could to his family, to his friends. And so I think we often use any type of ism, be it racism, sexism, ageism, we often use isms as nothing more than a context to express whatever independent inadequacies or specific inadequacies
of an individual.
We have as individuals. Yeah, that's the way I see it. That's not to say that there is not racism. There's definitely that, but it is due to ignorance. And I think it is the responsibility of everyone, including Black people, to basically educate each other. We have to educate everyone, and get rid of the illusion of the brand.
Viola, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And they, both the callers, though they disagree fundamentally with each other, brought up this idea, Ron Christie, of the brand. And in your article, you use that with respect to Al Sharpton, that he's in, quote, the grievance industry, as you labeled the brand. So are you saying the use of the term Black community is a money-making strategy or fame-building strategy for people like Sharpton?
Well, I think that's defined his entire career, Brian. I think if you look all the way back to the hoax that brought Al Sharpton to the forefront, and I'm speaking of Tawana Brawley and her alleged assault by white police officers, to where he is to the present day, I think he has, looking at the Jenna 6 incident, looking at Trayvon Martin, looking at the Ferguson shooting, looking at Staten Island, I think he has used race in a what I would call a very divisive manner of labeling people as racist, labeling people as, you know, out to oppress Blacks, when I think that we could have taken these incidents and done something more constructive with them and found out how can we try to work more closely together. You know, just as I would maintain that Al Sharpton is not monolithic for all Black Americans, neither am I. And that's the beauty of this country, is it shouldn't really depend on what the color of your skin is. It should really depend on you standing up as an individual, having beliefs and having a value system.
Although I could turn this around, the branding critique, and say you're a Republican strategist, so is trying to diminish the identification of Blacks with a Black community a kind of divide and conquer strategy for your party?
No, I don't look at this in political terms in this context. I really get sick and tired of people who put hyphens in front of Americans. You know, they say, oh, well, the African-American community. You know, I wasn't born in Africa. I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in California. Now I have traveled to Africa, but I am an American. I'd say I'm a Californian first and I'm an American second. And I just tire of the notion that we must divide people based on the color of their skin by hyphenating their ethnic backgrounds rather than celebrating the fact that the diversity in this country is our greatest strength, and our greatest strength is our diversity in America. Why don't we focus on people as individuals who are American citizens and those who are here in America rather than seeking to divide and conquer based on race?
Californian. All Californians are... no, I'm kidding. Brandon...
We are what we are, Brian. I take no exception to that.
Brandon and Wes Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I think that there's a little bit of unusual kind of focus on the fact that what the community is identifying themselves as. I think when people use the term Black America or the Black community, it's a general statement that's nationwide. It kind of, and it really is only applied to situations where the statistics kind of show that there's a preference for this type of treatment toward these type of individuals on a consistent basis. And I think that also being of a mixed heritage myself, I find that, and having also police officers in my family and judges, police officers are trained to kind of handle all situations. You don't always have to go for the kill shot. You can shoot them in the leg, especially if an unarmed individual. You have many choices. You can use pepper spray, nightstick, things like that. So that's what's really being taken into account, is what was the motive behind the killing? What was the reason? Why couldn't you take this man to the ground, which you were trained to do? Why was it that he is because he was tall? There's a lot of tall people of many different ethnicities. They're told white people that are very burly that I may look at and be like, whoa, okay, you're very big. But if I'm trained to deal with many different types of people and different sizes, then I will definitely use something else at my disposal. But when it becomes a situation where time and time again it's a black male that needs to be shot dead and is unarmed now. Now it's unarmed. Now you can prove that the person was unarmed. It leads you to believe that you have to examine the motive behind that particular officer. Not every officer, because not every white officer is racist. And I've gotten out of tickets from white officers where maybe I was going a little bit above the speed limit. I was never dragged out of my car and beaten. But those people, the predators, is what we're after.
Brandon, now, what do you think? Can I also ask you, since we were just talking about it with Ron, what do you think about Sharpton as a spokesperson?
Well, with Sharpton, I think everyone has kind of a mixed feeling about him. And that's just personally, I feel that, he did mess up with that original case with the woman that was raped. He did apologize for it. Do I feel like Sharpton speaks for the entire black nation, black community of America on every issue? No, I don't. I don't agree with everything he says. But there are certain instances where he becomes the most loudest voice because of his high-profile nature. And that's when he becomes useful. But other than that, I don't think the black people as general don't hang on his every word and live their life by the way Al Sharpton says.
Brandon, I appreciate all your comments on both aspects of this. For the record, I don't think he ever did apologize for Tawana Brawley. I think he stands by his position to this day. But what about his framing of Sharpton there? We just have a minute left. So anything you want to say to Brandon? And, he gave a pretty nuanced view there, I think, both on the experience on the streets or on the highways and with respect to Sharpton. What do you think?
Well, I agree with many of the points that Brandon made, and I just think that President Obama, in moving forward, there was a piece in the New York Times the other day that said that that Sharpton was the go-to guy for the White House and civil rights, and I think there's so many more diverse voices that the president could go to, people of color, people who are white, people of different backgrounds, and one that I look to is New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, the former mayor of Newark, New Jersey. There are pragmatic people who can roll up their sleeves, work with people across the political spectrum, and really try to find meaningful solutions to the problems that face us. I just think in choosing a divisive figure in this White House, Brian, I think it was an opportunity missed by this White House of really trying to find ways to heal some of the racial scars that we still bear in this country today.
Ron Christie, New Jersey-born, unhyphenated Californian first, American second, Republican strategist. He served in President George W. Bush's administration, and he has an article on Daily Beast questioning whether there is such a thing as the black community. Thank you very much for engaging with us today.
Really enjoyed it, Brian. Thank you.